A report on the Family Violence Intervention Order System found out the system is failing LGBTIQ+ victim survivors. The report shows identity misidentification from police and, in some cases, family members used the intervention order system against survivors. I asked postdoctoral research fellow at Monash University, Dr. Ellen Reeve, about the key findings of the report.
LGBTQ+ people experience many of the same barriers as cisgender heterosexual women in obtaining protection, but they also experience really unique barriers and challenges. We had participants experiencing coercive control from an intimate partner, retaliatory orders made against them. Half of the participants, despite all identifying as victim survivors of family violence, had actually been listed as respondents on intervention orders. So they'd been identified as the perpetrator. Sometimes the police are misidentifying LGBTQ+ victim survivors as perpetrators. We are seeing this issue of legal systems abuse, where the law is used as a tool to further control and intimidate a victim survivor.
I was just wondering if you could expand on what this concept means to be invisibilized.
There's a particular narrative that we're all really familiar with. Cis heterosexual male perpetrator committing family violence against a cis heterosexual woman. And that has been a really important narrative, and we've seen increased understanding of domestic and family violence across Australia. That narrative is actually quite exclusionary. When you don't fit within that narrative, the system has a lot of trouble in seeing you as a victim and understanding your experiences and the unique needs that you might have when you're engaging in that system. There was one participant when he was in court with his male perpetrator. The judge kept getting the two of them mixed up because they were both men. So it was really hard for that judge to shift away from that narrative of cishet woman victim and cishet male perpetrator. And that really affects the level of protection that participants were able to obtain. It kind of intersects with discriminatory attitudes on behalf of key legal actors, such as police, saying things to gay men like, oh, you should just man up. It works to send the message to LGBTQ+ people that this system isn't actually there to protect them.
I was just wondering if you're able to expand a little bit on some of the barriers to seeking safety and support.
Over-criminalisation and under-policing of crimes like domestic and family violence, that's a really difficult decision about whether you're going to engage with the police. That sometimes means that people won't engage in legal help seeking, but also it means that when people do, that they are at risk of experiencing those discriminatory attitudes. And these might be particularly pertinent for different groups. You know, I'm thinking about non-binary participants here, where they were so worried about engaging with the police because they weren't sure what box the police were going to put them in. And they knew that whatever box that they put them in, that was going to determine if they were viewed as a victim or a perpetrator. Mainstream services are not particularly adept at appropriately responding to LGBTQ+ communities. So they're often unable to provide that sort of culturally safe and trauma-informed care. That can be a disincentive to seek help. We need to see greater commitment from government to properly invest in and fund LGBTQ+ specialist services.
Could you tell me what some of the benefits would be of a community-controlled service for this population?
The people who are running it are actually part of that community, and it was life-changing for our participants that engaged in such services. You are getting that culturally safe care, and that's a really important step along that journey of seeking appropriate protection. You can't rely on services that aren't community controlled or mainstream services to provide that level of care, especially because they're so underfunded as well. LGBTQ+ people will continue to access mainstream services, so we do need to upskill those services at the same time to make sure that they are culturally safe.
That was postdoctoral research fellow at the Monash Gender and Family Violence Prevention Centre, Dr. Ellen Reeve.